opening text. And of course, I've already kind of give you a glimpse into what we're preaching here tonight in the title of this message. Brother Lucas already had it up there, the third person. And our text is in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Praise our God. You can be seated again tonight. Praise the Lord. The revelation from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And tonight, I want to bring forth some reality on the goal, the purpose of the Holy Ghost of God. All through Scripture, and I've just got a few portions of Scripture here tonight. I'm not trying to do an exhaustive study on the third person, but I'm sharing some things with us tonight that will hopefully help us understand the role of the Holy Ghost of God in the church, in our lives, right now. Right now. Because all through the Scripture, we find the Spirit of God there. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2, the very beginning, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Here we have our first mention of the Holy Ghost, the third person. The first mention of the Spirit of God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3, "And the Lord said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Here we find God speaking to Noah, and giving the insight that the Spirit of God was dealing in the hearts of men. The Spirit of God was working in the hearts of men in the days of Noah. Just a little interjection here. Jesus Christ made a reference, "As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." And he gave some of the characteristics of the days of Noah. It wasn't that God didn't want anybody else on the ark. It's just nobody else wanted to get on when God asked them. Are we not seeing the days of Noah before our eyes? Because just as the Spirit of God is moving in this house, He's moving out there too, striving with the hearts of men. They're just not getting on the boat. So calamity may need to come, so more folks will realize, I need to get on the boat. I need to get right with God. So here we find the Spirit of God working there in the hearts of men. In Judges chapter 6, verse number 34, it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." So here we find the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God, moving on Gideon, and all through the Judges, the book of Judges, you find the Spirit of God moving on these judges. But you've got to understand, that is where He was limited to, where He was showing His power on individuals that God chose out to be judges, to be kings. All through the Old Testament, we find the Spirit of God coming upon the righteous kings, coming upon the prophets. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." We're coming off 400 years of silence, and here we find a man that was devout to God. In other words, he was serving God according to all the knowledge he had of God. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't have all the scriptures down, but you remember and you understand that when Zechariah and Elizabeth and the child John was going to be born, and all of a sudden, in the midst of all the things happening, the Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. When Mary came to visit Elizabeth, her babe leaped in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost has been working for a long, long time. It's not just something new. He just hasn't fulfilled the role he's filling now all through the past. But he's always been there. He was there at the giving of the law on the mountain. The mountain was on fire. The mountain shook. It trembled. What was that? That was all manifestations of the Spirit of God. Remember on the day of Pentecost, what showed up? Mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire, flames of fire. That was all things they knew was a representation of the Holy God of heaven. The Holy Ghost. So he was there at the giving of the law. He was there on the cross. The sun went dark. The earth shook. The veil in the temple rent from the top to the bottom. Who do you think did that? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Woo, so there he was. He was there at the law. He was there at the cross. And on the day of Pentecost, he came to the church. And he's still here. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost brought the law. They all had a part in that. The cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost brought that to pass. The Father is now sitting on his throne, the Son is at his right hand, and the Holy Ghost is here on this earth. He is the executor. There we go. Isn't it amazing how that you practice these words over and over and over and over again, and then you come to want to say them, and you can't hardly do it? Grant had that problem with one of his scriptures today. The executor is the Holy Ghost. What's an executor? The person appointed by a testator to execute his will and to see it carried into effect. Woo. See, Jesus Christ is the testator. The New Testament. This is my blood. This is my body that I offer up for you. He gave us the New Testament. And the Holy Ghost is the executor of that New Testament. Hallelujah. Bringing to you and I all the benefits of serving God. Hallelujah. That Sister Sarah was talking about and different ones have been talking about. It's the Holy Ghost that begins to work into our lives, challenge our lives, so we can become the recipients of every good gift that Almighty God wants to bring into our lives and about our lives. It's as we follow the Spirit of God and acknowledge Him as the leader into the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Woo, hallelujah. You see, he's the executor. Wow. I want to say executor. And he may do that sometimes too. I don't know. Amen. But the executor of spiritual life. Very familiar portion of Scripture. And we must emphasize it in these last days, because really, probably to your surprise, there are a lot of people that have not experienced the born-again experience. It's not that they doubt God. It's not that they doubt that Jesus is Lord. It's not that they doubt that the Holy Ghost is real. They have just never moved up the hill far enough to be fully born again by the Spirit of God. But you see, it's going to be a long night. The executor of spiritual life is none other than the Spirit of God. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man named, the man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. So in other words, he was in a place of prestige and a place of knowledge. And if he knew anything about God, or if anyone knew anything about God, it was Nicodemus. And there came to Jesus, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, this is an awesome thing because Jesus Christ is really exercising the Spirit of God, the anointing that he had, and he begins to immediately minister to the need of Nicodemus' spiritual life. You know, before Nicodemus even asked a question, Jesus Christ gave him an answer. He gave him the answer that he needed. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, questions are good. Questions need to be asked. But a lot of times, if we would just listen and be still and know that he's God, we wouldn't have to ask very many questions because he'd already answer them before we ever ask. Does the Bible not say he knows what we have need of before we ever ask? Whoa, praise our God. So Jesus Christ immediately begins to minister to the spiritual need of Nicodemus in verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Realize Nicodemus just made a statement. We know that you're come from God. And we see the miracles you're doing, and we know these miracles can only be done by God. But Jesus goes past the miracles and says, there's a kingdom that you need to be seeing. You need to look past the miracles, and you need to see the kingdom that God is setting up on the face of this earth. Woo! Hallelujah. I know we pray for miracles, and we want to see miracles, but church, they don't need to see the miracles. They need to see the kingdom. They need to see the kingdom. And it's the Spirit of God that's going to begin to reveal that kingdom to them. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to acknowledge that spiritual realm of God and the work that God is doing in this earth. Amen. And bringing salvation to mankind. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Woo! Have you ever been there wondering, God, how does this work? I have. I mean, I've been right there. That was the whole perplexity of my mind, of my soul. Before I was born again by the Spirit of God. God, how does this work? How can I do this? How can I get... Are you catching the picture in what I'm saying? How can I? How can I? How can I? How can I? I can't. He can. That's where he has to get individuals. It's not about what I can do or what I'm trying to do. It's about me accepting what he wants to do in my life. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. That's when the kingdom begins to open up. That's when our eyes begin to see. That's when the reality and the realness of God and the assurance of God and the fact that you know God is more real than the chair you're sitting in. Woo, praise God. That's when that comes to pass. There's a lot of people that believe there's a God, but they don't believe it's in reality right now. He's just there. And when he does whatever he wants to do, then we'll just do what he wants done. They're so far removed from the truth that God wants to be in here.
Old Brother Noah preached it.
Camp meeting.
The kingdom is within you. Woo, praise God. The executor of spiritual life is the Holy Ghost. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. There's got to be a new birth, a spiritual birth. There's got to be a repentance of sin and an acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And that's when a new creature will be created within. That's your born-again experience, born of the Spirit of God. That new creature created after Christ Jesus. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is the one that does this work. Woo, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the one that paid the price so that you would have the right to become a son of God. And the Holy Ghost is the one that begins to bring it to pass as we call on Jesus Christ. Praise be to our God. The executor of all things of the New Testament is the Holy Ghost of our God. Hallelujah. The third person. The third person. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, Brother Mike, if you go read the Gospels, you find that Jesus challenged people all the time. Hallelujah. Go read Matthew chapter number 5 and tell me, is that not challenging? Praise God. Hallelujah. They're looking at Jesus, they're scratching their head, and they're like Nicodemus saying, how can these things be? Woo! Challenging. Here's the challenge. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise God. The great comforter, the Holy Ghost. That one Jesus sent back to take his place. The one that brought the same reality to the disciples as when Jesus was with them. Praise God. They are the ones that seen him in the flesh. They're the ones that walked with him. They're the ones that dined with him. They're the ones that helped him when he performed miracles. They were his helpers. They saw him one-on-one, eye-to-eye, face-to-face, and he said, I'm not going to leave you without a remembrance of me. That's what he was saying. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you to where doubt, fear, and unbelief are going to rule and reign in your mind. I'm going to send another one to take my place. Wow, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, that third person. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This statement shows the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to send another comforter. And then in the same scripture said, I will come to you. Praise God. How does he do that? Through the Holy Ghost of God. The third person, the executor of the things of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And so we see that he's the comforter, and he makes mention here that he's the Spirit of truth. And that the world cannot receive because the world doesn't see him or know him. Anybody that has been in a Pentecostal meeting where the Spirit of God is moving, and especially if they have been in this house when the Spirit of God was moving, they were introduced to the third person. He showed himself to them. Notice the statement, and I've got to move on here. There is so much here. Hallelujah. And I got to quit expounding on every point. Praise God. I mean, because there's so much here. Hallelujah. But that's what he said. He shall glorify me. I'm on the wrong one. I'm on the next one. See, I'm trying to move ahead faster. The world can't see him, but then he makes a statement. But you know him because he dwells with you. In other words, because they'd been around, because they had been with Jesus, they had been with Holy Ghost.
Because Jesus, in the scripture, and I'm just pulling more scriptures in here. They're not in there, Brother Lucas. But Jesus went about doing good, filled with the Spirit of God, anointed of the Spirit of God. Everything Jesus did was because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They were unified even on earth. As he became flesh, he was still unified with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We find that reference, you know, that the Father spake from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Spirit of God descended like a dove and rested upon him. And immediately from that, he went right into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And he was led there by the Holy Ghost. Whew, praise God. It's not always going to be easy sometimes as we're going that upward way. But that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is not leading us that upward way. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's hard. Hey, but when it gets tough, the tough get going. Praise our God. So we see then he's not going to leave us comfortless. He's the great comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the revealer of Christ. Are you getting the picture of the work of the Holy Ghost of God in this New Testament? John 16 and 8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. He's the Spirit of truth. He is the great guide. To guide us into all truth. Because he's just going to be speaking about what Jesus wants you to hear about. Hallelujah. In other words, that's why the house of God is a challenging place where the Spirit of God dwells and the Spirit of God works. Because, and it's just like Brother Cisneros made mention and different ones have made mention, you need to preach Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. That covers Genesis to Revelation. You need to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. That covers righteousness, holiness, purity. That covers the fruit. You need to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. The facets of Jesus Christ, because that's what the Spirit of God is going to be doing. He's going to be exalting Jesus Christ in his deity, in his glory, in his power, in his sonship, in his saviorship, in everything that Jesus Christ has accomplished in his role as the Son. The Holy Ghost is just amplifying it in a believer's life. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the great guide. Hallelujah. To bring and reveal Jesus Christ to you and I. And you realize and you understand just as well as I do, that's why we preach the Word. That's why we can't change it or paraphrase it and write it down in a paraphrase. We can expound upon it, bring definitions to words about it, so that we can understand it more, but it's still going to be the Spirit of God that brings that alive in us. It's just like that light bulb comes on. Yeah. Have you ever been working on something and you're looking at it and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to make this work? What do I need to do to have victory in my life? What do I need to do to overcome this particular sin that plagues me? That's when you need to get down on your knees. You need to open up the Word of God, and you need to ask God that question. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Praise God. Now, if you don't want to know the answer, you won't be there praying, and you sure won't open up the Word, and you'll make yourself scarce to the house of God, because he's going to show it to you anyway, because he knows what you need. Praise God. I mean, that's just, he already knows what we need before we ask. Praise God. Glory. So he's the great comforter. He's the great guide.
Hallelujah. He's the executor of spiritual power. I don't know why I have a hard time with that. That's just the way it gets. When I get wrapped up tight on the inside, those things just kind of... Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. Maybe it's just there to keep me humble too. I don't know. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. See, I mean, it's even the references there, the reality of the Holy Ghost involved in the teaching of the apostles. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, and commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The executor of spiritual power. We all know Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to read it tonight because we all know it. We've already made reference to it. Jesus said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The executor of spiritual life, the executor of spiritual power, met them on the day of Pentecost. It was the appointed time. Yeah, God's got a timetable. We don't fully understand it. Jesus said, it's not for you to know that timetable. God's got one. As we look back on the past timetable, we can kind of make speculations. His timetable's coming to an end here on certain things. Amen. And so we see then, he is the executor of spiritual power. The baptism in the Holy Ghost of God was never intended to be something we could pick or choose. It was just the next step in a believer's life after they had been born again by the Spirit of God. It really wasn't something that you had to pursue. It was just something that came. As you worship God, as you magnify God, as you serve God, it was just the gift from the Father, that Comforter, that Holy Ghost of God that was with them, became in them. Praise our God. Hallelujah. And so it's not a matter of, do I have to have the Holy Ghost? What are you waiting on? You get to be filled with the Spirit of God. You get to draw closer to God. You get greater revelation from God. You get greater power from God. You can walk with God in a greater measure, in a greater way. What are you waiting for? Praise God. Hallelujah. See, it's all a matter of the reality. The executor is here. He's available. He's fulfilling his role, his part. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is ask, desire, believe, receive, surrender. It's just all part of true Christianity. If you can't surrender to the born-again experience, you're never going to surrender to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I mean, contrary to probably our knowledge, there are a lot of people that are depending upon how well they do something for God as their righteousness to God. There's a lot of people still do that. And those are the ones that you preach you must be born again to. They're the ones you share you must be born again. It's not how many rules you can follow. It's not how good you can try to be. It's not how well disciplined you are. All those things will come. Don't misunderstand me. But you can't put your trust in what you can do. Because God calls everything we can do, no matter how great we do it, filthy rags, dirty clothes, stink. Don't you just hate going by the clothes hamper? Why? It doesn't smell good. It's dirty clothes. It's filthy rags. And so we got to understand it's the Spirit of God. We must be born again by the Spirit of God. We must give ourselves wholly to God's kingdom. You see, He is the executor of spiritual power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, number 9, but as it is written, don't you love those words? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Paul's quoting an Old Testament scripture. I didn't throw it in here, but he's quoting an Old Testament scripture. You realize the only scriptures they had in Paul's day was the Old Testament scriptures, don't you? They didn't have all the New Testament scriptures that you and I have now. They started getting them, and when they got blessed to receive a letter from Paul, they all went to the altar, prayed for a little while, and said, okay, let's read it. What do you think he's going to challenge us with now? Woo! Praise God. He just challenged them with something he'd already told them way back then 3 years ago. Remember? Oh, praise God. So that's the way he's doing it again. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He's the great teacher. He's the great teacher. Hallelujah. And surely you've heard this before. A lot of times we got to be careful when we say it, but, you know, and a lot of times we just say it in the midst of excitement, but we make this statement, well, you know, the Holy Ghost can do more in 10 seconds than anybody could preach for an hour. That is so true. That is so true. But if somebody hadn't preached for that hour, the Holy Ghost didn't have anything to work on in 10 seconds. You must know the Word. That's what he works with. You see, so that's why it doesn't bother me when the Spirit of God begins to move and I've got this message like this that I want to preach, but yet the Spirit of God starts sharing things all through the service that he wants us to hear. And then in that time in the presence of God, he burns it into our heart. What is that? That stuff we've already heard, we haven't dealt with it yet, and we finally paid attention. And thus God writes it in our hearts. It all came from that hour sermon somebody preached somewhere along the way that got in your mind but didn't get in your heart. So it all goes hand in hand. I just listened to the book of Acts, chapter number 20, this morning, where Paul got to preaching, and Eutychus fell asleep, fell down out of the third story window, and died, and Paul had to stop preaching, go resurrect the boy, and then start preaching again all the way to daylight. You ready? You think I could preach till daylight? I think I could. Because all I'd have to do is start in Genesis and start expounding one scripture at a time. And we would be here till daylight. Yeah. Yeah. So, Paul preached all night. What did he preach about? You name it. And he preached about it. Because he had a vast congregation there of new converts. They all needed to hear everything because he may never pass that way again. Matter of fact, he never did. Praise God. He's the great teacher. He's the great teacher. And I'm going to close with this. Romans 8 and 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us
and groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He's the great helper. You know, God's that help, that present help in the time of trouble. The Holy Ghost. You know, since the Holy Ghost is now on the face of the earth, the holy angels don't have to do near as much as they used to. Because the Holy Ghost is taking care of the majority of the load. The Holy Ghost is filling men and women, and they are walking in the Spirit of God. And so the angels' work is a whole lot easier, because God's Word's been written in their hearts. And they're serving the Lord with gladness of heart. They're serving the Lord with joy unspeakable and full of glory. They're realizing and worshiping the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we understand that that third person, the Holy Ghost, he is here right now. He's the executor of God's testament through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Spirit of God brings that life to us. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Hallelujah. That life has got to be flowing in us and flowing from us. And that's what worship is all about. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit of God, living in the Spirit of God, living holy, living righteous, living pure, keeping ourselves unspotted from this world. If you want more things of this world than you want of the kingdom of God, you are spotted. And the Holy Ghost is working to unspot you. if that's the right terminology. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That was the psalmist's cry. Why? Because he had gotten spotted by the world. He was thinking like the world, desiring the things of the world, and fallen to the sin of the world. And he knew that the only way out was if God would create a clean heart in him, fresh and anew. Woo! Praise our God. And it's the Holy Ghost makes it happen. It's the Holy Ghost that makes it happen. Praise God. Glory. Could I have a piano player as we're closing here tonight? The third person, the Holy Ghost, the executor of the spiritual life of God, the executor of that New Testament sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to make it happen. He's the one that's going to bring it to pass. Who's going to bring men and women, hallelujah, into the house of God? It's the Holy Ghost. But how are they going to know unless they hear? How are they going to come unless they're invited? How are they going to know what's going on in here unless somebody starts telling them what's going on in here? Hallelujah. Because we need to get them in here. This is a haven of rest. This is the powerhouse of God. This is where the power of darkness can be broken and will be broken, because they won't leave like they came. Because if they know nothing about God, when they come here, they'll see your life and in mine. They'll sense him, because the Holy Ghost will begin to manifest himself to them. And thus they will begin and enter into a wrestle with God. The dealing of the Spirit of God. Just because God reveals, just because God speaks, and just because they know God's here, they still have to choose. They have to choose God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Why does that still speak to us today when it was something Joshua spoke thousands of years ago? Because it was the Spirit of God that was in Joshua that had him speak that.
to the children of Israel. That's why it's still viable for you and I here today. Choose. Make that choice. And press into that glorious kingdom. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Father in heaven, we rejoice in the greatness of your salvation. We rejoice, Lord God, in the